Pastor James let me know that you seem to be kind of ahead of the catechism classes, so he says, oh, you can do what seems right to you in the afternoon service. And I mentioned that, well, in Berman, we're dealing with prayer right now as we're going through the catechism. He said, apparently that fits well with what we did in Bible study this week. So we'll turn to Lord's Day 45 this afternoon. We come to a third major topic or of the content of the How to Work Catechism, which is the Lord's Prayer in Lord's Day 45. We turn to the final topic of the catechism. It goes through the Lord's Prayer, and in Lord's Day 45 it gets us ready for that. So it had just ended in Lord's Day 44 on how we cannot keep God's law perfectly, and that instead the law makes us pray more and more for God's Spirit and grace to be given to us. And on that note of prayer, it then asks in Lord's Day 45, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no one other than the one true God who has revealed Himself to us in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask of Him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. What has God commanded us to ask of Him? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. What is this prayer? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's now for our text turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Some of you may remember us, maybe in December, that I came here and also went through part of the armor of God. I preached on that. And when we came to the topic of prayer in the catechism, it was a good opportunity to turn back to that and kind of finish off the series that I had begun by looking at the final, not piece of armor, but the final instruction that Paul gives Ephesians. So we'll read the armor of God and then see what it leads right into, what is important for us in this battle that we face. So Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so we'll focus this afternoon on that verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when I was a teenager, I, like probably some of the teenagers here, was part of a young people's. And so happened that the young people's I was a part of also had a title, a name that they called it, and it ended up being this Latin phrase. It's called Ora et Labora. And maybe you hear that word, Labora, and you think, hey, that sounds a lot like labor. Yes, that means work. But what maybe means ora? Well, it is this Latin phrase that meant pray and work. It's this ancient Christian phrase that really tried to combine Christian calling, Christian virtues. Pray and work. In the church, this pair of prayer and work are just always meant to go hand in hand. And we need both. But in order to get us thinking this afternoon, I wonder. You are most likely going to be drawn to one rather than the other. And if you look at your life, which one would you be drawn to most? Would you say that it's easier for you to pray than to work? Or do you often find yourself in life working, striving, without having prayed? When something goes wrong in your week, or just a challenge comes up, what is your immediate response? It's like, okay, let's pause, problem solve, let's get an idea, let's figure out what the next step is going to be, or would it be, look, I just got to pray first. Then I can plan, then I can respond, but I have to pray for it first. When you hear a sermon, and the sermon has maybe two parts that send you away saying, you got to pray about this, and you got to do this, which part of the application are you going to more readily apply to your week? And I'd be very glad if somebody would say, you know what, I pray so much, Pastor, that is always my go-to. Because I know myself, and I know that is not my response in most of the cases. And I know that likely many of you here will know that have the same tendency. Don't have to raise your hand. But think about it. If I asked you, are you more comfortable working rather than praying? You need this part of the catechism. You need this part of the catechism. You need to be reminded of. Ora et labora. Work. Or pray and work. They must go hand in hand in the Christian life. And I think that we see this so beautifully in the passage that we just read in Ephesians 6. So you go through this really a majestic theme, right? This armor of God, this fact that the Christian life is a struggle, it's a battle, we got to be ready for it, but also having that wonderful comfort saying, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power and in His strength. And we're like, yes, Jesus gives me the armor. I have it all here. It's all ready. Let's go to war. Let's do the work. We're equipped. We have power. Christ is with us. And yet the temptation may be is that, okay, now we know what to do, we go out and do it, and forget verse 18, when it says, and pray. You cannot put the armor on without praying. You can't go to battle without praying. And praying too is part of that war and that battle. And if we don't do it, if we just say, we're just going to do the battle part, we're just going to put on our armor, are you really standing in the power of the Lord? Are you really strong in His strength? Or are you just trying to do it again on your own? Prayer is one of the main means in which we make that command to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might true. When we confess we need His help, and we ask for it in prayer. And only then will our armor be effective. Only then will we stand in this battle. One author used the illustration of a modern fighter jet. Now, what amazing piece of technology, isn't it? Fighter jets. They're fast. They can carry incredible missiles. Often go, be untouchable in a way. And yet, you can put all the missiles, all the rockets on it. But if this jet doesn't have its electrical system, it's going to be useless. It can be scrapped. Right? If it doesn't have electrical system, it doesn't have power, it doesn't matter how you arm it, it's going to be useless. Its missile system will be down. There is no control over it. You're not going to get it started. It's just going to be useless. He said, so it is with our armor. Putting on the armor and wearing the armor effectively is done in prayer. This is what it means for us to stand in the Lord's strength. It's this essential part of the battle that we all face. You'll likely notice it is a battle because we don't always want to go do it. Or called to. In fact, you see, it's a wonderful privilege. And a great calling. And the privilege of being a child of God. Jesus taught his disciples, saying, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. This battle we must do the same. Pray and work. Watch and pray. That's what the Lord calls us to do. And the Apostle Paul gives us a summary of what prayer is meant to be for us in this battle. In that verse that I repeated, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And he makes a number of important points for us about prayer. And one of the first ones is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What does that mean? How do you pray in the Spirit? How do you offer all supplication in the Spirit? Is that some kind of special way of praying? What comes to your mind? Well, this really isn't the first time that the New Testament ties these two together, saying prayer and the work of the Spirit go hand in hand. Maybe one of the verses that right away comes to your mind is that you could turn to, Romans 8. And it'll talk about the Spirit of sonship that's given us, but also it says that the Spirit, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. It's a beautiful verse, isn't it? Saying, look, we'll come to times in our life where we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what's wisdom. We don't know really where this should be going or what the Lord has in store. Does that just leave us silent and saying, for this time I can't pray? No, it says, look, the Spirit too will work in you that you may know better, that the Spirit knows better than you what to pray for and intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. The beautiful picture that in prayer we have the Spirit within us groaning and interceding for us. We have also remembered the Lord Jesus Christ as a high priest at the right hand of God interceding for us that our prayers may be received. But the Spirit's. It's given to us to encourage us and direct our prayers here on earth. Praying in the Spirit reminds us of the powerful role of the Spirit within us. So let's work out what that looks like, what that means for our prayer this afternoon. First of all, what we may expect the Spirit to work in us is genuine prayer. Or, as the Catechism does also describe it, like prayer from the hearts. Scripture is very clear that prayer is meant to be from the hearts. Not because our hearts are pure, we looked at that this morning, but because of the Spirit's work there. Do you also realize the privilege or what that actually says and means for us? Prayer is never about finding the right words. That somehow that will unlock something from God if you just have the right words. There are no magic words. Jesus taught very clearly, look, don't be like the pagans who through just babbling on and just heaping words upon words upon words somehow try to wrestle from God what they want and what they desire, because if they just talk long enough or offer just the right amount, that then somehow God must answer the prayer unless they want. He says, no. Just pray from the hearts. It's not about the right words. Muslims will know that there's certain times of day when you're and certain days of week that your prayer will be more effective. That's not prayer in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit when you trust that it is about that honest, heartfelt pouring it out before Lord, for your Lord, in through the power of the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. That allows you and encourages you to pray. That's not the only thing that Scripture teaches us about prayer in the Spirit. It's actually a phrase that's used elsewhere as well. Jude mentions praying the Spirit in Jude 20 and 21. But he combines it and sets it right beside also being building ourselves up in faith. He says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. And it gives us that wonderful, you know, combination thing, like, look, prayer in the Spirit goes hand in hand with that life and building up in faith. As we learn through the Spirit's direction and prompting to live out our faith, that together is that life of a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And it would make sense, doesn't it? As we think about the Spirit and what He works in us, the fruit of the Spirit, and how that may be shown in prayer, the kind of character of prayer, well, we kind of get to know what the character of this relationship would be with our Lord. Catechism directs us in the attitude that is basic to prayer. First of all, being humility. We must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Both faith and prayer will always have humility to them, won't they? The humility that says we can't do this on our own. We need our Heavenly Father. This is one of the reasons why we pray in the Spirit. It's one of the reasons why we live by faith in Jesus Christ. We can't do it on our own. That makes us humble. That sets the tone for our faith and in our prayer. They both flow from an utter true humility. But at the same time, the Catechism goes on saying that there's also that confidence. We must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayers because of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. Rest on this unshakable foundation. He will surely listen to our prayers. As much as the Catechism is humble and says, comes first, it also says, you are confident. You rest in that assured or unshakable foundation that Christ, God, will surely listen to you. And this certainly would already be assumed by Paul by this time in Ephesians 6, because earlier on in Ephesians 2, verse 18, Paul writes about the wonderful privilege as Christian that we come to God through Jesus Christ, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. When we realize that we're not alone in our prayer, but pray in the name of Jesus Christ by the Spirit, we have, well, not just humility. We can't do it on our own, but we also have confidence, because we're not doing it on our own. God isn't simply hearing us. When we pray, He's hearing His Son, He's hearing His Spirit together with us. It's not in a confidence in our ability or in our work, but in the interceding word of Son and Spirit. So my question this afternoon is, do you pray in the Spirit? Do you pray in the Spirit? But Jesus said that a time would come when we would worship in spirit and in truth. Do you pray in the Spirit as in pray from the heart? Or do you recognize that your heart is often not in it when you pray? That question isn't then, or that struggle isn't then just meant to point it out or to condemn you. It's then the question asked, why is your heart not in it? Where does this struggle come from? Do you maybe have to wrestle with the fact that this struggle comes from the fact that you trust yourself more than you should? Or maybe the opposite is it doesn't maybe come from that, just the sense that you doubt the power or the need for prayer. So that your prayers are always just surface level. Maybe ask yourself, do you humble yourself in prayer, but you have no confidence? I mean, that'll make prayer difficult. It's very easy to have that humility, but no confidence, and so what happens is that, well, you only pray and only can make yourself pray when you have this little bit of confidence in yourself, saying that maybe now God might hear you. But you have no basis for it. You don't know where that basis would come from. Do you maybe notice it? Because you believe that God will hear others, but he would not hear you. Why is that? What makes you different from your brother or sister that you do believe God would hear in prayer? What do you believe to be true about them that is you don't believe to be true about you? Or maybe your struggle to pray in the Spirit is because you do have the confidence, but you don't have the humility. And maybe you'll notice this. In some ways, that confidence has caused you to, let's say, abuse prayer at times. In fact, that it became more of a technique, a power move that is meant for you to exert your demands on God. The confidence that you know he's going to hear me, but lacks the humility to realize that his way or his answer may be very different than what you are praying for. It's utter humbling, but it is true. We might at times be very devoted to prayer because to us it seems the best way to get what we want, not the best way to live a humble life before the Lord. That's not prayer in the Spirit. And that got us to realize that as we learn to pray in the Spirit, we also come to learn our Father's lesson with regards to another common challenge in prayer. What if God does not answer our prayer as we have prayed for? What are we going to fall back on when that happens? Do we in those moments hold on to that relationship in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, who bring us into that living relationship with our Father, or will we start to doubt God and doubt prayer? Sometimes God exposes our idea of prayer as a simple technique where we may be trying to pray to simply make our own will happen by the power of God. But he needs for us by prayer to be drawn into this living relationship by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And yet sometimes he may then not answer prayer the way that we want, to remind us of what it is meant to be for us. But also listen to this. not just to pray in the Spirit, but it mentions praying always and with all prayer and supplication. Enjoy that, brothers and sisters. This is something that is given to you as children of God, not given to anyone else. No, this is one of those times when that sense of, what do we mean by we have access to God? Well, what the Scripture teaches us is that you have access to the throne of the King of the whole universe. Not only does He permit your access, He encourages you to pray on all occasions. When you have a hard day, go to Him in prayer. When you have a great day, go to Him in prayer. When you have a dark day, go to Him in prayer. When the sun is shining and things are great, go to Him in prayer. When life is busy or when it's slowing down, in all circumstances, in all stages of life, He says, my door is open and come to me. Whatever's on your hearts, whatever you're facing, you are my child. There's nothing more important than that you may come to me. And I'll listen. It's in these words that our Heavenly Father is saying, it is encouraging us to enter into that living relationship with Him. When God says, I demand your heart, your soul, and mind, one of the ways He says you can offer that to Him is by coming to Him in prayer, in all prayer and supplication. How can we see examples of this throughout Scripture? I love the book of Nehemiah for this. Nehemiah will have long and deep prayers that come also before the Lord and bring before Him the history and all that is happening. And yet also there is that moment in the second chapter, verse 4. Nehemiah is still serving at the courts of the king. And then it just says, the king said to me, what is it you want? So remember, Nehemiah shows up and his head and his face is downcast. And the king knows something's going on. But it may be dangerous to ask the king what he wants. There's also a beautiful thing about prayers. We know that we can come before this king without fear. Nehemiah could not, so he fears. So what does it say? And the king asks, what is it you want? It just says, then I, Nehemiah, prayed to the God of heaven and answered the king. It must have been short. Don't think Nehemiah was standing there in silence for 5 minutes going through an extensive prayer. It probably was just simply, Lord, help me find the words. Lord, let the king be gracious, or whatever it may be. But he could not answer the king without first talking to the king in that moment. And we read the Psalms, that they're full of prayers, full of praise for God at times of celebration, to prayers full of deep confession, or mourning, or trouble in sin that are confessed before Him. And God calls us to offer it all to Him in prayer. All prayer brought before Him. Prayer is offered with all kinds of prayers and supplications, all kinds of requests. There's no one form of prayer, as the example just mentioned reminds us. We may have four prayers, as Jesus Christ taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. We may learn to pray in public. We may pray together as families. We may pray alone. We sometimes pray audibly. We may pray silently. We pray what is on our hearts and minds. We may go through a form prayer. We may pray through a psalm or another passage of Scripture. We may have planned prayers that we've written down as we have a prayer journal. It may be on the fly and quick as we are going on our day. May all be offered to the Lord. When you hear those words, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, what might the Spirit this afternoon be teaching you as what is good and beneficial for you at this particular time in your life? That's saying, this part of prayer, this is what I've neglected, or this part of prayer is where it could be deepened. Do you make use of the full arsenal, variety, the richness of prayer that God has given you? Do you find yourself only remembering to pray when things are difficult, or only you're prompted to pray at a certain time of day? No, routine is great. The Lord routinely calls us to praise Him on every Sunday. But what does it say when the most important part of our thankfulness is only limited to a certain time in our lives and not just filling it whenever we can and whenever we need? So we have all kinds of prayers. We have every time of prayer. We have this great access. And then it says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. With perseverance, persistence. One of the key teachings of Jesus Christ on prayer, you may know the parables, is persistence. Luke teaches us on prayer what Jesus taught, saying, look, Jesus compared or encouraged us to keep on praying in that parable of the persistent widow. That parable that reminded us of this widow who had been wronged by an unjust judge, and she just kept going back, saying, set things right, set things right, set things right, persistently. And the unrighteous judge did. This is how much more will your Heavenly Father listen to you as you persevere in prayer. But it's hard, isn't it? What do? You pray for something year after year after year, and after all that time, you're like, why am I even praying? Right? That can wear your trust and trust in the effectiveness of prayer. Why do you keep on praying? Doesn't that get us back to the very beginning where we started? Prayer is through the power of the Spirit, and we pray in the Spirit. Why may it be that when you have such a persistent prayer, that it's not just you praying, but the Spirit who's prompting you and praying with you? You see how when you realize that you pray in the Spirit, that you're not praying alone, even that question of why do I keep on praying, has to be answered. It's not just your persistence, it's also the Spirit's persistence within you. And for some reason, maybe even after years, still says, let's just pray again. It's not just your own persistence. Think about what that means. If you perhaps at this time praying for someone to know the Lord? Are you praying for, a breakthrough in a certain sin or something else? You're like, why? It's been going on and on and on. Why do I keep on praying? Well, ask yourself, why is the Spirit working to fill this prayer in you? If not, because God continues to remind you of the purpose of prayer, remind you of its necessity, and yes, continues to encourage you to pray for good things. The last thing our passage says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It's a wonderful reminder after all these verses on the armor of God. Like the armor of God focuses us on how does Jesus Christ equip us for the battle that we face. And we often think of these individual battles. Because there are these skirmishes within our lives, these battles that we face individually or together as families perhaps. But again, the danger may be there that we think just of this conflict of us against the world or of us and against our sin. And we become maybe fixated on the enemy as personally after you. But when prayer draws us out, not only to pray for ourselves, but to pray for all the saints, what the picture becomes clear is that this battle is greater than us. Yes, they're real, and they are part of the same battle, but everyone here, every Christian, faces the same struggle with sin, temptation against the world and the devil, the same enemies. It's all part of this larger war. And just as if we're not in it alone because Jesus Christ is our Lord and Commander, so also we all partake in the same war. We're not alone in it in many different ways. And prayer for all the saints is one way the Lord reminds us of this. When Peter wanted to encourage the churches in Asia in their suffering, in 1 Peter 5, he encourages them with a little reminder saying, look, what you're dealing with is not unheard of, and it's not unique. It's what all the churches face. That little reminder, but important reminder, you're not the odd one out. You haven't done something wrong that is causing you to be struggle like this. And you're in it with all the saints. No believer is immune to the devil's temptations. All of us need the armor of God. No believer can do without prayer. All of us rely on the same power of God, and prayer for all the saints reminds us of that. Now, there are many different ways in which we therefore may pray and grow in prayer as we need it. But maybe also think about it this afternoon. What practically are you applying? Is maybe prayerless something that would help you? Is maybe making particular time? You just find that you never have time to pray. You've got to put it in your calendar. You've got to combine it with some other thing that you do. So maybe because you struggle, how do you start with prayer? Do you maybe need to get into Scripture more? That it may warm your heart and make you pray. Whatever it may be, also I give you this warning, start small. That maybe this afternoon, a lot of things you'd say, I should be doing better, and I could all these apply. Start small, take one, and do it well. Listen to Martin Luther, who said, look to it that you do not try to do all of it. Do not try to do too much, lest your spirit grow weary. Besides, a good prayer mustn't be too long. Do not draw it out. Prayer ought to be frequent and fervent. He was happy to advise people, saying, look, prayer ought to be frequent and fervent. I know Luther prayed lots throughout his life. He's very clear on that. And yet when he advised people, saying, prayer, getting to that point starts by starting small. Frequent and fervent. Remember this afternoon that Jesus is the one who taught us to pray. He's given us every encouragement to pray. And he also is the great high priest who continues to pray for us today. We always know that whatever work we do for the kingdom, it has to be perfected because of our weakness by our great high priest. Because of our weakness and sin by our great high priest. Your work isn't perfect. Neither is our prayers. And yet we do both. Brothers and sisters, work in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. To the glory of Jesus Christ. Pray and work. Amen. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of prayer that you've given us. And Father, we thank you that it may be that in our prayer we come to you humbly. May that be the case for each one of us, that as we live the life of faith, saying, Lord, we cannot do this on our own, we need Jesus Christ. May in our prayers it always become clear, Lord, we cannot do this on our own. We need every good gift from your hand. Father, we thank you too for the gift of prayer, that we may have this confidence, that we may come into, before your throne of grace, knowing that you listen to your people when they call upon you. That is very much why you have given us your name. That we may call upon you. We know that you know what we need. We know that you know what we'll pray for even before we pray. We know that you know better than we do of what to pray for. And yet, Father, And prayer is so much of where our theology hits the, where it meets the road, where we start to understand what it means to be a child of God. To be your child. In humility and in confidence. In working and in praying. And so help us to do both. Because Father, we also confess this afternoon that as Christians, too often you may call us to go to battle, put on this armor, and you call us to pray, and we say we'll take the battle but not the prayer. We'll more easily go to war for you than we go to our knees. And it's so humbling. Because it reminds us just of how unspiritual we tend to be. And how spiritual prayer is. Because there's no fooling you. There's no fooling you as in hiding our hearts, or there's no fooling you in hiding behind words. You know us through and through. And yet, Father, it's also the beauty of it. That we who are so unspiritual, yet you've given us the most spiritual commands to live a life of prayer. And to know that the battle that we face is a battle on our knees. And that we do not have to stand in our own strength, but may stand in the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ by prayer. So this afternoon too, we pray for all the saints. We ask you for us to open up our eyes to see the battle that goes on around us, that we may know that the temptations and the struggles and the trials that overcome us, Father, are not strange. They are found throughout this world. And so, Father, we don't just pray for the church here, but for the church around the world. We think of our brothers and sisters who face persecutions that are so severe that their lives may be on the line. Father, may you encourage them. May they know, too, of the long line of martyrs within the church who have praised your name under serious threats, and may they hold fast to the faith in Jesus Christ, and may their faith be purified throughout it all. May they also be a great encouragement to us. May it be an encouragement to us to use the gifts, the freedoms, the time, the opportunities that you've given us here in this country to use it, to help those brothers and sisters across the world, but also, Father, to proclaim your glory and to build their church. To continue on to pray for all the churches in between, those who are struggling, those who are overcoming. And to know that our battle is not unique. And so, Father, as we go from here then into our week, may you teach us to pray. Even if we start small, Father, may we do it in humility and in confidence. May we do it from the hearts, as our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us. And so, Father, bless us all. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.